The title of my message today is, Where Are Heroes? It's hard to find heroes today. Oh, there's plenty of examples. There's successful people out there. But who are the heroes? We look at back in history. Of course, their Dunkirk is immortalized. And that's out with a movie as far as heroes, and our military heroes are there. We have heroes that we look up to. But I'm talking about a hero of a virtuous heart. A hero, not a sports athlete, not a famous person, but who do you know that has a virtuous heart? That's your hero. A hero is a person that's true to the plan God's laid out for him. A hero is the person that we want to be like. Of course, the Lord Jesus is who we try to be like. But it helps to have a hero in your life here on this earth that's doing the same thing. I'd like to look at King David's great-granddaddy. King David's great-granddaddy, and I hope we can learn something about him. Please turn with me to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, chapter 2. Let's look at verse 1. Book of Ruth is right after Judges. Joshua judges Ruth. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, Go, my daughter. So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, May the Lord be with you. And they said to him, May the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, Whose young woman is this? And the servant in charge of the reapers answered and said, She is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. And she said, Please, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now, and she has been sitting in the house for a little while. Then Boaz said to Ruth, Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you're thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, All you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work. And your wages be full from the Lord, God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. Then she said, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me, and indeed have spoke kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. And at mealtime Boaz said to her, Come here, that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain. She ate and was satisfied and had some left. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servant, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves. Do not insult her. And also you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned. It was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw that what she had gleaned, She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. Her mother-in-law then said to her, "Where did you glean today and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed." So she told her mother-in-law of whom she worked and said, "The name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead." Again, Naomi said to her, "This man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives." Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "Furthermore, you said to me, 'You should stay close to my servants until they finished all my harvest.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It's good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids, lest others fall upon you in another field." So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Let's pray. Father, I ask your blessing upon the reading of your word, and Lord, just what a wonderful, wonderful story. But Lord, it's much more. It's not a story, it's a testimony that you've given us. And I pray that you would open our eyes and our hearts. Help us, Lord, to embrace what you're trying to teach us today. Lord, if there's anyone in here that does not know you as Savior, may today be the day of salvation. And Lord, if we have grown lax and cold in our love for you, I pray that today would be the day that we would renew again our determination to walk with you and to love you and to keep you first. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is such a sweet story, and a lot of us know this and we're familiar with it. But I want to focus on Boaz right now. Ruth has so much to offer, and I could do a whole nother message on her, several messages. But right now I want to focus on Boaz, because Boaz is a type of Christ in Scripture. You're going to see similarities, and you're going to see things in the life of Boaz that Jesus actually portrayed and did. And he's a forerunner. Of course, Boaz is a man of character, and the Lord Jesus is a man of character. Boaz came from Bethlehem. Isn't that interesting? Boaz was diligent in his work. It says in verse 1 that Boaz had great wealth of the family of Elimelech. He had great wealth because he was a hard worker. He wasn't sitting in a house somewhere letting everybody else do the work. He is actually doing business. He comes from Bethlehem and he goes to the fields. And he's getting a report of what's going on. Boaz was a hard worker. We call him a workhorse. But yet he was the boss. He was the owner, the landowner. You know, Boaz was not only diligent in his work, he was sincere in his devotion. He gets there and he says in verse 4, he said to the reapers, "May the Lord be with you." And they said, "May the Lord bless you." That little statement there, that little verse, tells us a lot. Boaz was not just concerned. He didn't just walk up and say, "How much have you gathered up? How long is it going to take you to finish this field?" He wasn't just concerned about the numbers and the money and the barley. He was concerned about them. "May the Lord be with you. The Lord help you out there. You're working hard for me, and I want God to bless you and help you out through this. You're out there working." See, Boaz was concerned about their spiritual condition. Sometimes I think we get so focused on what we see and feel and touch here on this physical plane that we forget about the spiritual. See, Boaz, he was sincere in his devotion, and it showed in thinking of others. He didn't come back from Bethlehem saying, "Man, I'm tired. That horse ride really wore me out. I'm hurting. I'm sore. My foot hurts. No, Boaz didn't just come to his servants and start giving a list of complaints of how he felt. What did he do? He says, may the Lord be with you guys out there in that field. And how did they respond? Oh, the Lord bless you. What does that tell you? That tells you his workers loved him. His workers were concerned about him. They weren't just in it for a job. They weren't just in it for a paycheck. They weren't just doing this because they had nothing else. They had to. They loved Boaz. And they wanted God to bless him. You see, Boaz was a man of character. And when you have character, people take note of it. Boaz, let's skip over to chapter 4 real quick. Another mark of Boaz's character is in chapter 4. Let's just start reading verse 1. I won't read too many verses. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the closest relative whom Boaz spoke was passing by. So he said, turn aside, friend, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down, and he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. So they sat down. He said to the closest relative, Naomi, who's come back from the land of Moab, has to sell a piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. So I thought to inform you, saying, buy it before those who are sitting here and before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am after you. And he said, I will redeem it. Let's stop there. Boaz was a man of character, and Boaz was faithful to his duty. Jewish law stated that when Naomi's husband died and those two sons of hers died, there was nobody to inherit the land. There was nobody to pass on the family name. So they were supposed to buy out the land and let Ruth become the wife so she could have a child and keep the family line going. Well, the next of kin was this fellow that Boaz was talking to. You know, Boaz said, Ruth, I'm going to go talk to the people I need to talk to take care of this, because I want you to be my wife, and I'm going to go through the steps. And you know what? Boaz told her he would do something, and he went and did it. He was faithful to do what he said, and he followed up with it. And by the way, long story short, I didn't read the verses. The nearest relative that had the right to do it wanted the land, but guess what he did not want? He did not want the woman. He wanted the land. He did not want Ruth. He says, I can't take this woman. Not that she was bad. He said, I can't take this woman, the responsibility. Yeah, that may have come out the wrong way, Brother Don. You may need to erase that, Brother Don. He did not want that responsibility. But he wanted the land. Boaz says, oh, you got to take it all. Boaz knew what he was doing. And he says, well, I can't do this. And they did the custom where he took his shoe off, his sandal, gave it to Boaz. That was a symbol. And you know what? Boaz was smart enough to line up all those elders of Israel. He had witnesses. He did it properly. He followed the Jewish law to the letter. He had everything in order. And you know what? That's the way Jesus works. Jesus does it the way it's supposed to be done. He does it right. He does it completely. And he bought our redemption by shedding his blood on a cross. Do you think if there was any other way he could have done it, an easier way, he would have? Of course. But there wasn't. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And Jesus had to go to that cross. He had to have our sins placed upon him, and he died paying for our sins. You see, Boaz is picturing that you have to follow to redeem the ones you love. Jesus stayed on that cross not because Romans nailed him to it. He stayed on that cross because he loved us before we loved him. That's what kept him on the cross. And you know, he bought our redemption. And just like he does, he loves us so much, he doesn't force our salvation upon us. He says, I paid for your salvation. It's a free gift. All you have to do is receive it. It's your choice. You see, Boaz was faithful in his duty to Ruth. Jesus is faithful in his duty to the Father to purchase our redemption. He was faithful to us. It's ours to receive. What's interesting about his character, and by the way, we talked about this a little in Sunday school. What's character? Character, it's what's on the inside usually, right? And good character is when the inside and the outside match, right? That's when there's no confusion. Good characters are characters what you do when nobody's looking, or what you would do if you could do it and get away with it. Character is staying true to who you are. And good character is very important. I can take and bake a skillet of cornbread and flip that out on a plate, and I could take and smear some icing on it and put candles on it, and I could call Claire in and say, Claire, here's your birthday cake. Now, I like cornbread, and she may like cornbread, but she's not expecting cornbread when she cuts into that thing. She's going to say, Mr. Franz, the icing is good. The candles are wonderful. It looks beautiful, but it don't taste right. See, that's what happens when the character isn't what it should be. It's disguised to be something else. See, that was not intended to be a birthday cake. And she would be disappointed sorely once we cut into it and see what's in there. That's not something she wanted to have a birthday party with. You see, we got to make sure that when we're cut open and God sees what's inside, that it matches what's on the outside. As a believer, our character has to be there. Boaz was a man of character. All of us need to be people of character. And the character of Jesus Christ has to be in us, on the outside and on the inside. Secondly, Boaz was a man who cared. Now, this is the sweetest part. If you look at verse 5 of chapter 2, then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of all the reapers, whose young woman is this? Now, I don't know by him asking that if he was already smitten or had his eye on her, but he is seriously wondering, who is this lady in my house? And the servant in charge of the reaper said, she's the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. Ruth was a Gentile. Ruth was a Moabitess. Ruth would not have been welcomed in many Jewish households. This is unusual. See, Boaz could have told them, and this is a Jewish community, Jewish law, he could have said, you get her out of here. He could have done that. You know what? Jesus could have told us to get out of here. There's nothing worse than not being loved or not being wanted. I never will forget when I was probably 11 or 12 years old, I was with my granddaddy, and he owned a bunch of rental houses, and we were all there off Chelsea. And when I ran with him, we would go down to Buckeye and get a load of cottonseed on the truck to feed the cows. But when you get in there, that soybean dust and all that, you'd sweat and it'd stick to you. And we looked like homeless people, both of us. Oh, it was bad. And I looked so bad, and I looked rough. My clothes were torn. I was sitting in the truck. My granddaddy went down there to talk to this lady, an older lady, and try to get some rent money out of her. And they're sitting on the porch, and she's telling him her story. And I was waiting in the truck. She never saw me in the truck. She didn't know I was with him. And I got kind of impatient, and I was like, I'm ready to go. I got out of the truck, came around the corner of the house. They're sitting on the porch outside, and She looked up and saw me, and she says, "What are you doing here? You get on out of here." And I never felt so vulnerable in my life. It scared me silly. Her screaming and yelling at me and telling me to get on out of here. I looked so bad she thought I was a street kid that had been sleeping under the bridges, I guess. She was like, "Get out of here. Get on out of here. I don't know what you..." And my granddaddy says, "Oh, he's my grandson." And you know what? It all changed real quick with her, didn't it? See, I had nothing to bring to the table. I was just a dirty kid that was getting run off, run out of the driveway. And when my granddaddy says, "He's my grandson," she was begging me to come in the house and eat a piece of pie she had just baked. "Come on in, eat a piece of pie." I was scared of her at that point. I wasn't going in her house. But you know what? Her idea of me totally changed. We've got to understand that our relationship with the Lord Jesus changes everything about who we are and how we're perceived. You see, Boaz was a man who cared. He looked at Ruth and he said, "You know what? I know what she did. She loved Naomi. She's gone through some tough times. And you know what? She stuck by her. You let her glean. Leave her alone." By the way, gleaning in those fields, that was a job for beggars. She had gone from living in a comfortable house with her husband and father-in-law, and they got land. She was living high on the hog. Now she's lost everything, and she's out there walking behind in the dirt like a beggar, trying to get enough little barley grains so they could get something to eat. Now that's humble. That'll humble you quick. But you know what? I can't do this without bragging on Ruth just a little bit. She was willing to do what it takes to survive. And it wasn't just about her belly. She was trying to make sure Naomi was taken care of. It was love for somebody else. By the way, that was a very dangerous job. A lot of those women were attacked. A lot of those women, it was a dangerous thing to be out in the field. People would come along and just do God knows what. Boaz actually tips us off to this, and he tells his servant, said, "Look," they called Ruth in, and he says, "Ruth, you, as a matter of fact, stay in my field. Don't go nowhere else. And don't get too far away from my maidservants. You stay near my people. Nobody will mess with you as long as you're close to my people. You stay close. And as a matter of fact, just stay in this field. Don't go nowhere else. Stay with me till the end of harvest." This was an ongoing thing. It would take a while. And she had a steady source, but now it was still hard to get enough food to live on. So he goes to his servants and he says, "Look, if she gets close to where y'all are gathering up the sheaves..." Now that was, you didn't touch that. Jewish law said they could pick up what was on the ground. He said, "If she wants to take it wherever, don't you get on to her. Don't you embarrass her. Don't say nothing to her. Don't insult her. And if she's not going to the sheaves and getting it, you accidentally drop a little on purpose so she has grain to eat. You make sure she's taken care of." See, Boaz cared, and it's evident by his generosity. Generosity is something that people notice and see. It's helping other people. It's giving when you don't have to. If you only give or help when you have to, that's no different. It's when you don't have to. And by the way, this Gentile lady, he asked her to stay in his field. And I think, you know, Jesus says, "Here, I'll take care of you. I've got your needs met. Just stay in my field." And a lot of times as Christians, where do we find ourselves? We've strayed off and we're in somebody else's field. And we're wondering why we're getting jumped on. We're wondering why we have trouble and struggles and there's no grain. There's nothing to glean. And you look around and you say, well, no wonder I'm in the devil's field or I'm in somebody else's field. You know, get back in God's field. Get back where Jesus put you. If you're in the right field, you'll find out life goes a lot better. Why are we always looking? But that field over there looks a little better. That looks a little greener. Grass is always greener on the other side, isn't it? I got a big old horse with more grass than he can eat in a pasture. You know what grass he loves the best? I got one fence around my garden. I didn't put a strand of barbed wire over it. And it's goat wire. But it's up high. He likes to reach over that wire and mash it down and eat the grass around the edge of the garden. I don't care if he eats the grass around the edge of the garden, but my fence looks horrible now. He got it all bent to pieces. And I mean, why? I asked him and he didn't answer. It's just something he does. You know, we're that way. God may ask us, why? Why'd you go to another field? Why are you always trying to reach over in some place you're not? Why are you always dissatisfied? You know, godliness with contentment is great gain. We need to learn to enjoy. Not only enjoy, but embrace where God has put us. If we're always dissatisfied and complaining about where we are, where God put us, and what's going on in our life, guess what? That's called griping. You can do it in the sharing of a prayer request, but if you get too much into it, it becomes a gripe session. Have you ever been in one of those where your prayer request became a gripe session to God? I've done it. I'm sorry. We've all done it. Admit it. God doesn't need us to give him a gripe session and complain about where we are, what's going on. Have a praise session with God. God sees your need. He knows your need before you ask. Now, the Bible does say ask, but you know what? You got to trust that he knows what you need for your life more than you do. Sometimes we're our own worst enemies. Boaz was not only a man of character, he was a man who cared. It was evident by his generosity. Something else he did, if you look at chapter 2, verse 12. Boaz said this, may the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. Then she said, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me, and indeed you have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. You see, Boaz showed he cared, not just by his generosity, but by his encouragement. She says, you've comforted me. You know what? We have the master of all comfort, and that's Jesus. And Jesus will encourage you if you let him. Boaz was thoughtful enough. And by the way, if we're trying to be like Jesus, we need to be like Boaz and be like Jesus. We need to be concerned about encouraging people. He called her and said, the Lord reward your work. He's basically saying, God bless you, girl. Keep on. And you know what? It meant a lot to her. It encouraged her. Boaz was a man who cared. Boaz also was a man who completed what he set out. Look at chapter 4, verse 10. Moreover, I have acquired Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, to be my wife in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance so that the name of the deceased may not be cut off from his brothers or from the court of his birthplace. You are witnesses today. And all the people who were in the court and the elders said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, both of whom built the house of Israel, and may you achieve wealth in Ephrathah and become famous in Bethlehem. Moreover, may your house be like the house of Perez and Tamar before Judah, through the offspring which the Lord shall give you by this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth. She became his wife. He went into her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. And then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you and is better to you than seven sons has given birth to him." Ruth, this daughter who is better than seven sons. See, she took care of Naomi. Everybody recognized it. What a testimony. But back to Boaz, he was a man who completed what he set out. There's so many things, and this is probably one of the things us men have the most trouble with, because we can start a lot of things, but it's hard to finish some things. And especially when you try to do too much, you got a bunch of things there that you're not finished with yet. Some of them you may not be finished with for 10, 15 years. But you know, Boaz, when it came down to something this important, he finished the job. He finished redemption process. He made sure that he was able to take Ruth as his wife. And by the way, what did Jesus say on that cross? He said, "It is finished." He did it all. There was nothing left for us to come back and finish up, fix up, or for him to complete. He said, "It is finished." You see, a man who completes things. That was Boaz. The Lord Jesus did it. And that's what we need to do. He finished by marrying Ruth. She became family. He loved her. God blessed him by producing that child. And that was through God's blessing. God got the glory for it. And let's look over, if you will, please, at chapter 4, verse 17. Well, let's do 16. "Then Naomi took the child, laid him on her lap, and became his nurse. And the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, 'A son has been born to Naomi.' So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David." You see, Obed came about because Boaz was faithful to do and to finish what God put before him. He was finished. He was used of God, not only to be a picture of the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. And what a compliment to Boaz to picture Jesus in Scripture. But he also was faithful to perpetuate the kingly line. A kingly line for Jesus to be put in that line, to be part of it. What an amazing honor to be part of that. We've been challenged by looking at the life of Boaz. We've been challenged by seeing what an amazing redemption that's out there. Do you think there's any reason for anyone not to receive the free gift of salvation? I can't think of any reason. And you say, "No, me either." Well, then ask yourself, so okay, then I've received that gift? Yeah, I hope you say yes. If not, you better be the first person down here. You better beat me to this altar. I've got a shorter distance, but you need to beat me here. If you want to just come forward and pray with me and say, "You know what? That stirred me. I want to be more like Boaz. I want to be like the Lord Jesus more." If you have a desire to do that as a believer, come down. Whether it's church membership, baptism, or dedication, just come. Be faithful. I don't keep records of how many people come down the aisle. God's doing that. I don't need to know a number. I need to pray with the heart. See, that's what's important. As they come for an invitation, all we have